Vishnu Sahasranam, name 723, Mahamurti. It's an easy name to understand the basic meaning of it. Maha means great and Murti means form. Two words which are common in Indian languages up to the present time. It's from Sanskrit and common in the Indian Prakrita languages. So the simple meaning, he who has a huge form, and the obvious or immediate understanding that comes to mean Mahavishnu, otherwise known as Karna Dakarshai Vishnu. He who is the Vishnu who lies on the water of the causal ocean. He's described in the Brahma Samhita by Lord Brahma, who is born not from that Mahavishnu, well, from Gabodakshai Vishnu. Gabodakshai Vishnu can also be called Mahavishnu because he's pretty big from our point of view. Pretty big. He's lying in the water at the Garbha ocean at the bottom of the universe. I mean, huge, just unimaginable. And we consider that form of Karna Dakarshai Vishnu is much, much bigger. Anyway, Lord Brahma states, Yasyaika nishvasita kalam atavalambya jivanti loma vilaja jagadandanataha Vishnur mahansa ihayasya kala vishesho govindamadi purusham tamaham bhajami. Brahma is here speaking about himself, not directly or exactly about himself, but about the position of Lord Brahma. So you all know how we're talking about, say, Lord Brahma, right? He's a fellow with four heads. Well, he's only one Brahma. There are Brahmas with more heads, up to dozens of heads, hundreds of heads, thousands of heads, millions of heads. And all of them are situated, one Brahma in each universe. And each universe manifests from the holes in the body of that Mahavishnu. Now the hole in the body, just like if we see the hole in our body, well, that's the point, we can't see it, it's so small, but there is a hole there, otherwise how can perspiration come out? Think about it. There's a hole there, and the universes come out in seed form, and there's one Brahma in each universe, and each universe lasts during the breathing out of Mahavishnu, breathing in of Mahavishnu, that's it. This universe come out and come in again. So we can imagine his breathing period. The yogis, they want to have long, slow breaths and hold their breath and all, but Mahavishnu is, he's way ahead of them. And they're all breathed out and breathed in with his breathing also. As Markandeya Rishi found out, he got breathed out and breathed in when he wanted to see Maya, and he saw the external energy manifested with the breathing out and breathing in of the Vishnu, the great Vishnu. So the Brahma, his life, which is so long, it only is one breathing, one breath of Mahavishnu. So it's on a completely different scale to what, far, far, far beyond our imagination. One name coming up in Vishnu Sahasranam is Achintya, inconceivable. We can imagine someone twice our height, maybe even 10 times our height, but practically it's infinite, infinitely larger than us. So we can't imagine infinity. We can imagine the concept of infinity, but actually something so big we just can't imagine. So what should we do? Bow down, bow down. Yeah, that's what we should do. There he is. And bow down to that form who, form, yes, form. He's not formless, not formless. It's a great form. And that form is lying on the bed of Ananta Shesh. So, Mahavishnu, gigantic form, the repository of the entire universe. And remember, our universe is just one of many, just one little universe. One little universe. Oh, I dropped a mustard seed on. Dropped a mustard. Who's going to lament if you drop a mustard seed on the ground? Traditional way of cooking, you don't measure with a spoon and all the hell, or the weight. You take in your hand some, you take some spices, just like mustard seed. This much? Okay, throw it in. That's all. The traditional cooks, they'll do like that. That's if you're cooking small quantities. You don't actually measure it exactly, but just by looking, you can see. So if you have a few mustard seeds in your hands, and one happen in your hand, which you're going to put in the chunk for cooking, and then one falls down, you don't lament. There's so many mustard seeds. So one universe like one mustard seed in relation to Mahavishnu. And that's all within Krishna. It's all within Krishna's mouth. Krishna, Adi Purusham, the original form of Godhead. Yashoda Mai, she saw the whole universe within Krishna's mouth. What do we find in Gita? Krishna tells Arjuna, okay, I'm going to show you, get ready. Yahai kastam jagat kritsnam. Pashyadya sacharacharam mamadehe gura kesha yachanyat drashtamichati. You want to see? You want to see universal form? Okay, get ready, get ready. Here he goes. I'm going to show you right. You can be right here. You're right here in Kurukshetra. I'm going to show you the whole universe right here in my body. It's all within me. Now you can see. And that's what he saw. That's what Arjuna saw, just a few verses later. Tatraikastam jagat kritsnam pravibhaktam anekadha apashyat deva deva sya sharire pandavas tada. In that very form, Arjuna, what we're talking about is Krishna demonstrating his Vishvarupa, his universal form. So I've been talking about Mahavishnu, but that's not the same as the Vishvarupa. Technical and very distinct difference, but the name Mahamurti can apply to both, that Arjuna saw within the body of Krishna. Everything is included. The whole universe, it's just a tiny part just within his body. And that same body was before Arjuna. How is it possible? And again, achintya, don't think of it. Just like, if we think, what's a very small form of, a small avatar? Small avatar, Vamanadeva, small. But he became so big, he covered the whole universe. And how is it possible? It's inconceivable. Now, many people who are very scientifically minded, they don't believe all these things. But it is an advantage to be raised in the Vedic culture of India, in which people raised in their culture, they tend to accept, even if they are scientifically trained, that there are things which are achintya, that God can do anything. And so we find people who are scientifically trained, who can... Pretty much everyone is nowadays, they have to go to the school. So, but they still accept, it's beyond chemicals and test tubes and mathematical formulae. He can expand himself as he likes. Now that huge form, Mahavishnu, counterintuitively maybe, it's not the main form that devotees concentrate their love upon, or that the Supreme Lord himself likes to interact with them, just like Vaman expanded himself in the huge form. But again, he came to a smaller form. And in that small form, he lived with Bali Maharaj in Sutala, not the big form. It's hard to relate to the big form when we're so small, unless you become big like that. But that, only he is big like that, because he is Bhagavan. He is Mahamurti. If everyone became like that, then first of all, it's not possible. Because I'm just saying, achintya, things are inconceivable. That relates to Bhagavan, that is his particular quality, and that quality is in some aspects may be granted to the jivas, but if the jivas were to become same in quantity as well as quality as the Supreme Lord, then there would be no distinction, and there'd be no love, and then what is there left? We're only living for love. The Supreme Lord himself lives for love. That's ultimately what it's all about. That's why the huge form, Mahavishnu, is not the main form. We, in this material world, we think in terms of power, conquering, prestige. Now, someone who's got all of that, what does he want? He wants love. Ultimately, everyone's looking for love. So Krishna's got all of that. And it's not that the form of Mahavishnu, that love is absent in him by any means, but the smaller form, Krishna's tu Bhagavan Swayam, the highest form, the form from which all other forms come, Govindavadi Purusham. We just recited the verse about the huge form. But that form is not the original form. Krishna appears within the universe. The universe comes from Mahavishnu. But Krishna is the origin of the Mahavishnu form. So this requires a little study of the Absolute Truth, the science of the Absolute Truth, Srimad Bhagavatam together, even an intellectual grip on all these things. And it requires faith to accept this. So that huge form, still sweet, but we can relate more to his sweetness when he becomes small. But he also appears in a large form just to let us know. He is, after all, big, and we're small, just in case we forget. And many people, they relate more to the big form, the grandeur of the Supreme Lord. Seems to be, in their mind, it seems to be more important if the deity is very big. So we have big deities. Anantapadmanabha Swami at Tiruvananthapuram is one. Ranganatha Swami, they're big, big deities. Bigger than the, we can say in South India, these big deities, they're bigger than the famous temples in North India. In North India, we have deities like Radharaman in Vrindavan, not very big, quite small. The deities that were personally worshipped by the followers of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, they're mostly all quite small. They're, you could say, for personal worship. They weren't originally for public worship. That wasn't how they first started the worship. It was their own personal relationship with the Supreme Lord, and later the temples were built. But then, very big deities. Now, of course, you have to remember also that Ranganatha Swami, big deity, but he, right way back from the time of the creation, and was first worshipped in this universe by Lord Brahma, and then eventually was given in the Surya, came in the Surya dynasty to Ikshvaku, and in the Treta Yuga, Lord Ram gave for worship the form of Ranganath, his own form as Ranganath, to Vibhishana. So anyway, even the human forms were much bigger at that time. Big deities, they're mostly reclining deities. We're thinking about ISKCON Mayapur. And now, and they're not reclining, they're standing. Radha, Madhava, and Ashtashaki. But very, very sweet, still, despite being so big. Reclining deities, they're big reclining deities. You get many Buddha deities like that, that you'll find in Thailand and other countries. I just wonder, what is the Buddhist conception? Is Buddha there to hear their prayers? Then he didn't get nirvana. And if he didn't get nirvana, then who else is going to get nirvana? Buddhism is strange. Anyway, another meaning of Maha, Krishnadatta Bharadvaj. He takes the meaning to mean pujaniya. In other words, he's great in everything. Pujaniya means worshipable. So everything about him is worshipable. Not just big in size, but everything about him is laudable. His qualities are great. Therefore, he should be worshipped. Baladev Vidyabhushan, he gives the meaning in relation to, again, he's coming to that pastime of Krishna when he went to the court of the Kauravas to request peace. He went, because actually he didn't want peace. He wanted the fight, as Arjuna found out. But anyway, he did his duty. He wasn't tricking Yudhishthira. He did his duty, although it was a formality, because it was known that the Kauravas, they didn't want peace, but still it's our duty to sue for peace. Not that, otherwise we would be lacking ourselves if we just, without even making an attempt to make a peaceful settlement, if we just go for war, then we will appear to be as bad as they are, practically. So he went, but it was ontologically impossible that Duryodhana, Karna, Shakuni, Dushasana, well, these are the gang of four. These are the real bad guys out of the Duryodhana and his cronies, the inner circle, three of them. Shakuni, Dushasana, Karna, they're all, well, especially Dushasana and Shakuni are famous for committing atrocities, and Karna for his blind and crude support of them. And committing atrocities means they were henchmen of Duryodhana. Anyway, they wanted to capture Krishna, but it was ontologically impossible because they're within him, he being the very form of the universe. Now, much, 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 much more could be said about this. This name is similar to the previous name, Vishwamurti, and to names which are coming up also. So I'll go through to name 724, because after all, we're trying to get through to 1,000 names, and we have more than 250 still to go, and some of the talks that I'm planning are going to be extending over several sessions. So the next name is Deeptamurti. Again, fairly, not so easy to understand the word meaning as Vishwamurti or Mahamurti, but Deeptamurti. Deepta gives the idea shining. So he's a dazzling form. Already we had discussed here in the Vishnu Sahasranam commentary already, the names Jyotiraditya. He is the light of the various suns. And also had the name Jyotir Ganeshwara. That there are so many, whatever is shining, all the shining bodies, especially the heavenly bodies, he's the Lord of all of them. And the name Jyoti, he is light itself, that name is still to come. this name is Deeptamurti, similar to those names. Baladev Vidyabhushan states that he gives the meaning, his form is blazing, Deepta, like many Suryas and Agnes, many suns and fire gods. Sanjay, again referring to that 11th chapter of Bhagavad Gita, the Vishwarup Sanjaya describes to Dhritarashtra, trying to give some idea of what that Vishwarup is like. Trying to give some idea, although it's inconceivable. Even to Arjuna, he couldn't, even although Arjuna saw it, but he couldn't reconcile within his mind what it is. Divi Surya Sahasrasya Bhaved Yugapat Utita Yadi Bha Sadrishi Sasyad Bhashas Tasya Mahatmanaha. Ooh, can you imagine? No, we can't imagine. But you're trying to give some idea of the unimaginable. So Sanjaya says, well, just try to imagine 1,000 suns rising at once. And Madhvacharya explains that, when you say, as is common in Sanskrit, when you say 1,000, especially in poetry, it means it's allegorical for many, many thousands or unlimited. So we can imagine so many suns rising at once. Here in India, when the sun rises, it depends, well, which part of India we're in and what season it is. But especially in the hot season, soon as the sun is up, it's burning and bright. Even one sun is so bright and roasting. So thousands, we can't imagine, but we're trying to give some idea to try and imagine thousands of suns rising at once. So Sanjay said, Sanjay, who's seeing this, seen all this, is trying to convey to Dhritarashtra, it's quite ironic because Dhritarashtra had never seen any sun rising ever, being blind. But if 1,000 suns or thousands of suns were to rise at once, then it might resemble a fraction of the brightness of that universal form. So everything understood, not at all. That's the wonder and the glory of Vishnu who we're describing. Not understandable, but we're trying to get some kind of idea. Mostly we want to love Krishna, but we should have some idea of who he is. And again, another description from the 11th chapter of Gita, which Arjuna says to Krishna. Well, the important word here in this verse is Deeptimantam, Kiritinam Gadinam Chakrinam Cha Tejo Rashing Sarvato Deeptimantam Pashamitvam Durniriksha Samantad Deeptana Larka Dutim Apramayam. And then another word which is important, specifically in the context of discussing this name, Deeptamurti, Deeptana Larka. So, Kiritinam, I see, Arjuna says to Krishna, I see this multiple form with so many helmets, clubs, discs, and then Tejo Rashim, that also fits. Tejo Rashim Sarvata Deeptimantam. I see on all around, everywhere, just glowing with the effulgence, teja rashi. That also gives the idea of effulgence. Pashamitam duni riksham, it's hard to see. It's hard to see at all. Something's very bright. It's very hard to see. And then samantat, everywhere. Deepta anala, blazing fire. Arka, the sun. So it's like Arjuna himself is trying to describe. It's this effulgence, immeasurable effulgence, aprameya, immeasurable effulgence, is like that, right? Tremendously blazing fire or the sun. So he's trying to describe. Anything bright, wonderful, all things bright and beautiful, all creatures great and small, all things wise and wonderful, the good Lord made them all. So that Mahamurti also, that I was just describing, Mahamurti means all his qualities are great, and similarly any good quality we see of anyone, that's also a representation of Krishna. So whenever we see someone may say, oh, he's brilliant. He's a brilliant cook, a brilliant scientist, a brilliant guitar player, a brilliant cricketer. A brilliant gives the idea of shining. And Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, yad yad vibhuti matsam sattvam Srimad urjitam eva cha tatad eva avagachatvam namateja omsa sambhavam. Whatever is seen within the whole universe that is possessed of power or splendor, brightness, energy, anything, it's all coming, as Krishna says, from a fragment of his power. So anything we see, people, if they're highly placed in society, wealthy, blessed with great extraordinary abilities and accomplishments. It's one thing to have abilities, it's another thing to get things done. Beauty, knowledge, whatever. It's Krishna manifesting the tiny, 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 tiny portion within them. Again from Gita, yadaditya gatam tejo jagad bhasa yate khilam yach chandramasi yach chagno tat tejo vidhi mamakam. Krishna says that the light of the sun by which the whole universe is lit up, and the light of the moon, and of the light within fire, that you should know is all coming from me, because he's Deepta Murti, he's the very form of brightness. Shankaracharya, you might think, Shankara. Shankara is going to give some light, brightness, effulgence, he's going to give some impersonal understanding. No, not this time. Shankara says he's called Deepta Murti because he is the very form, Murti, of knowledge, which illumines. Shankara says, Deepta Gyanamayi Murti Yasya Iti Deepta Murti. The light of knowledge, that is Krishna. By knowledge we can see. The very example is given again by Lord Krishna in Bhagavad Gita. Jnanena tu tadajnanam yesham nashitam atmanah tesham adityavajnanam prakashyati tatparam. Lord Krishna says, when knowledge arises, and it's actually like it's almost felt as It's allegorically said to arise, but it's almost felt like that, that it arises. When knowledge arises within the heart, we can see everything clearly. It's just like the sun, when it arises, then we can see everything very clearly. So that knowledge, that rising of knowledge, that is made possible by Krishna, especially to his devotees. He gives them the knowledge by which they can understand him, because ultimately knowledge is, real knowledge means to understand him. Vasudeva param jnanam, the highest knowledge is to know Krishna. So, Krishna describes in Bhagavad Gita, Tesham Sarata Yuktanam Bhajatam Priti Purvakam Tadami Buddhi Yogam Tam Yena Mamo Priyanti Te. Krishna says, to the devotees who are constantly engaged in my worship, with love, I give the good intelligence by which they can come to me. And specifically, in the next verse, the word comes up, Jnana Deepa. Krishna is the lamp of knowledge, Deepta Murti, for the such devotees. Teshama evanu kamparta mahama jnana jangtamaha nashyam yatma bhavasto jnana deepena pasvata. Being very kind to those who really want to come to Krishna. Krishna in the form of the form of knowledge arises within the heart of the devotee and destroys the ignorance, the lack of knowledge which is born from the darkness of ignorance of material existence. Shankara gives another meaning, that Vishnu, at his own will, he can assume a radiant form. Svechaya grihita tejasi murti asya iti va deepta murti. So that we see the universal form, Vishwarupa, Krishna. Anyway, his form is full of all light, but some he doesn't always display it. But whenever he wants, he can, and he does. So there's another meaning that Shankara gives. Sri Satyadeva Vashishta gives another meaning, quite unusual, you could say, or maybe unexpected, that deepta means not only the sense of resplendence, but also the sense of explicit. When there's light, you can see. Everything becomes very clear. So in the same way, Krishna is very clear, doesn't hide himself. In one sense, he does. Nahang prakarsha sarvasya yogamaya samavrita. He doesn't manifest himself to ever. He lets himself be covered by the, in the minds, he's not actually covered, but he lets himself be covered or not seen or not properly understood to the mudhas. They cannot understand him. But the example Satyadeva Vashishtha uses that is that humans try to hide their motives, their actions from others. They may do so because they're doing something wrong or because they're afraid someone will take advantage of them, but Bhagavan has no need to do so. If we want to see him, we can see him Shastra Chakshu through the scripture. Everything about him is given there. Everything means as far as we can understand. He speaks about himself in Gita. I'm extrapolating from Satyadeva Vashishtha's explanation here. So he's clear and obvious if we want to know him. And Satyadeva Vashishtha gives the example, just like a woman who's pregnancy, in advanced pregnancy, it's something which can be seen. That's the example he gives. Now, the Dharma Chakra writer, who the one commentator who didn't give his name, he, commenting on this name, that says that there are two types of enlightenment, or two ways we can see things. The example is, and in Gita, Krishna, he gives the example of the sun rising. Well, that's externally we see things, but then Krishna refers to internal enlightenment. It's similar, but it's not the same. It's not exactly the same. Externally, we see objects with the eyes due to the help of the sunlight. And internally, through knowledge, we see. So Krishna gives the knowledge, the understanding by which we can properly understand everything. But that light externally, that's also given by Krishna. And internally, he gives us the light by which we can understand him. The example is given in Shastra, and that's discussed in Harihas Thakur's discussion with one Gopal Chakravarti. He quotes from Shastra Harihas Thakur that at night all the rogues and robbers and bad spirits come out. They can hide in the darkness. But when the sun is out, that in itself, not completely, but there's certain kinds of bad things, doesn't completely stop anything bad, because the nature of this world is not good. But when the sun is up, then so many bad elements who can take advantage of the darkness, they cannot do their perfidious activities. So in the same way, we have to keep our mind bright, otherwise it will sink into the bad, the lower sphere, into the darkness. Tamasima, Jyotir, Gamaya, come out of the darkness, come to the light. And we have to keep on performing our sadhana so that we can stay in the light. And for that purpose, the whole lifestyle of sadhana and Krishna consciousness, the Brahminical lifestyle, of which it's absolutely central to the Brahminical lifestyle to chant Gayatri Mantra at three junctures of the day, connected with the sun at sunrise, at noon when the sun is at the zenith, and at sunset. And meditation on the sun as that which enlightens, meditating on Narayan as the sun. And of course the Brahmanas, they understand it's not exactly sun worship in the form of sun worship. Yes, we appreciate the sun god and his essential contribution to our life, but at the same time, it's a mantra for invoking spiritual enlightenment. So, in this way, we can understand that Bhagavan controls everything in this world, externally and internally, and gives the light by which we require to live, and the light by which we can come out of this material world, the enlightenment. All glories to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is ever effulgent and glowing, his effulgent, glowing, beautiful form. And if we take that Bhagavan in our heart, or allow him to manifest in our heart, and follow our sadhana and think of Krishna, chant Hare Krishna, refrain from sinful activities, then we'll also reflect a little of that light and we'll glow when we can see people who lead a pure life, their thoughts are pure, then they glow with the spiritual light which comes from Krishna. So in this way, in a very small way, devotees reflecting the brightness of Krishna, they can also be Deepta Murti. But we should know that is, after all, just a reflection of the Mahamurti, the huge form or the original source of all light. All glories to him. Vancha kalpatarupyas chakri bhasim nuve evacha patitanam pavanebhyo vaishnavebhyo namo namo. Dante nidhaya trinakam padayone patya kridvaja kakushatamedada hambravimi he sadhava sakala eva vihaya durat gauranga chandra charne kuruta. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare.